Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, there's a word there that reveals the wisdom of God. It says, if the princes of this world, they have wisdom. If the princes of this world have wisdom, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. That statement is so deep, it's profound. I just wanted to say that before we get into what the Lord has put on my heart. What that word is saying is making reference to the cross. It's making reference to the cross. The Lord is saying to us through the cross and through what he did, through the example of Jesus, the worst Satan can do to a believer is what God uses to bring honor and glory to his name and to glorify even that believer. Let me explain. There was nothing wrong with Jesus. Is there anything wrong with him?
No.
He was sinless. He was perfect. He was everything. So you cannot blame anything that is done wrong. But the enemy felt he was the answer. He was the solution to man. So the enemy says, if I can stop him, if I can kill him, if I can destroy him, then the solution of man is over. The hope of man is over. Amen?
Amen.
And God allowed it. Everybody say, God allowed it.
God.
Amen.
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 And Satan accused him, did everything he did, and killed the Son of God in the flesh. But what God allowed, and what Satan thought was the worst he could do to you, or do to the cross of Christ, was his biggest defeat. It was his biggest nightmare. It was Satan's worst mistake. Amen?
Amen.
So today, because after the cross, the solution became manifested. After the cross, now the purpose of God is put in place. After the cross, the plan of God is now fully enforced. After the cross, victory is now given. Everything that Satan said he would stop, actually, he helped to bring it to pass. The same thing Joseph said to his brothers. He said, what the devil meant this for evil, but God intended it for his glory and for your good. Today I want to say to you, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you're a believer and you understand your DNA, you understand your calling, and the things I'm about to share with you this morning, anything the enemy does to you is for your promotion.
Amen.
Because the enemy's power is limited to the flesh. Amen. He said, fear not him who just has the power to destroy the flesh, but fear him who has the power over flesh and the soul. Amen?
Amen?
So whatever the enemy can do to you, it becomes a material for God to promote you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So Satan is actually a tool. But it's a tool that it looks like it's for wrong purposes, but really it's a tool that God uses to mold us, to shape us, to really crucify pride in our lives and self and lust, and then glorifies us. Amen?
Amen.
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 So today I want to say to you, when the Lord said to Paul in Thessalonians, he was talking to a man that understands everything I just said to you now, deeper. And Paul got to a place in his life that he really discovered that to be true. And based on this statement I just made to you, that's why Paul says, in all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ. In Christ, not in you. In Christ, pertaining to you. Yeah? In Christ. What is he trying to say? Paul is saying, anything you go through, any situation you face, any circumstance you are in, if you will turn it over to God, he will turn it for your good. Amen? The devil meant it for evil. The situation meant to be miserable, bad. But as you turn it to God, that situation will become for your good. What does it mean it becomes for your good? That's what we call testimonies. Testimonies are things that are contrary to everything we expect. But God turns it for good. I will call it for testimonies. Amen?
Amen.
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 So if I ask anybody what's a testimony, that means the ability to always thank God and convert things. Always see, not thank God because somebody dies, something happens bad. That's not what you're thanking God for. You're thanking God because God will turn that situation for good.
Amen.
That's the purpose of, you don't thank God when you're feeling bad. Oh, thank you God, because, no, we have to put it in context. We are thanking God because God will turn it for our good. Amen?
Amen.
And give us a testimony.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't know why the Lord brought that to me as I came here, but I just want you to know that nothing the enemy has done, will do, and will do in future, that God has no purposes for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of anything the enemy can do. Amen?
Amen.
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 All the testimonies I have are in this story I just told you. Because we can go on and share, and the things have gone through that God turned for good. Amen?
Amen.
You all can share the things the enemy meant for good that God turns for good. Some is coming. Some has taken place. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're preparing for, everybody say harvest.
Harvest.
Harvest is reaping time. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible is very big on harvest, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Whatsoever man sows that he reaps is a spiritual law, it's a natural law. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody works for Amazon, and Amazon say, bye-bye. They will pay you, isn't it?
Right.
All the places you work for today, you sow, and they owe you wages. If men can reward you, God says, I put that into law, spiritually. The law of sowing and reaping. So, harvest times are very, 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 very special times in the Bible. But it's also a very tricky time if you don't understand it. Because harvest time, it brings so many different kinds of things. Amen?
Amen?
So let me just use a few examples to give you the tricky part of harvest. In the natural, if you plant corn, isn't it? What you, all the efforts you put in planting that corn is for one thing, is to get the real corn, isn't it? The corn on the cob. Amen?
Amen.
Kizai is not here. I would have talked about her. She likes corn a lot. So, it's to get the real corn. Now, you put all this work and work and work and work and work. Amen?
Amen.
And then you see this. The first thing that comes out is not the corn, isn't it? It's the, those, huh? Yes, the shoot and all the things that go, all the things that the corn is hiding inside. Amen?
Amen.
They come out first, but the farmer is patient and waiting. Because the farmer knows, in that thing I don't need is the corn. Amen?
Amen.
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 What you need is there, but it didn't come out for us. The things you don't need are the ones that are coming out for us. Amen?
Amen.
But God is a God of reward. So finally, the Bible says, the corn will not come out. And then it will be ripe, the full corn in the ear, and it will be ripe. Then it says, harvest time comes. What is harvest time? Harvest time is when God separates what you need from what you don't need. Mm. Everybody say amen.
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 Harvest time is when God separates, the Bible calls it, the wheat from the chaff. They did not plant all of them from the beginning. They all were planted. But for some reason, some things are wheat and some things are what? Another tricky thing he said that there's a time God will bring harvest. And it's very tricky. He says that God will separate the sheep from the what? The goats. Then another harvest that he says God will separate the wheat from the tares. So harvest time is not just you're reaping something, but you're releasing what you don't need. In the physical, with the physical farmer. With God, harvest time is when God separates what is for the righteous from what is for the wicked. Before that time, God allows the wicked and the righteous. God allows the flesh and the things of the spirit to be, you know. But at harvest time, something happens. It's like a deliverance. It's like a freedom is released in the life of what God wants. Let me give a more familiar example in the spirit. The children of Israel were in Egypt. Amen? They were in bondage. Everybody say bondage.
Bondage.
And they were in Egypt with other human beings. They're human beings, they're Egyptians. But somehow, the place where they were in Egypt was a problem for them. It was a difficult situation. It was a bad situation. But that situation, God says he will allow it for a season to Abraham before that time. And so during that time, they went through a lot, they suffered through a lot, and then everybody said harvest time.
Harvest time.
Harvest time came, the fullness of time came. God says, I will separate the Egyptians from the children of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And God started gradually from the templates to show, to do some, everybody says circumcision.
Circumcision.
Surgery. He was doing that. And there was a difference between the children of Israel and the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
The book of Malachi says, when the time of harvest comes, God will separate those who fear God and those who fear him not. And he will promote this, and the other one will be consumed with fire. Amen?
Amen.
So, the problem with revelation, understanding, is the sowing time, the waiting time. A lot of times, believers don't understand that, they don't prepare for it, they don't give themselves to it, because they don't understand there's a harvest day coming. So people don't understand sowing, giving up their life, surrendering their life, sowing, giving to righteousness, praying, waiting, because They don't understand that it's what you sow. When harvest comes, that's what you're going to reap. Because sowing time and waiting time, that you see that you put the corn, you see, you know, everything you don't need is what you see. Sometimes it's too much problem what you see during the sowing and waiting time. But you forget that God says there will be a reward time. Amen?
Amen.
The reason why some of us endure the kind of jobs we do is not because we love the job, because we know there's a reward at the end of the month. Isn't it? Not all of us love the job we do, but we do it for the reward. Amen?
Amen.
So these are the things we don't understand about the kingdom of God, but God explains them. But there's something, a different aspect of harvest. There are many aspects of harvest, but there's a different aspect of harvest I want to share with you this morning. There's a harvest, let me put it in three levels. The first harvest is physical. Amen? Physical harvest is when you're blessed with good health, that you receive healing for your body, your headache is gone, you know, COVID cannot touch you, you know, those are good news. Your illness is gone, your blindness is gone, your deafness is gone. Physical, and part of physical harvest, when God starts visiting you, is, oh, you don't have it. You go from renting to having your house paid off. You know, just material blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Healing, material. Those are physical harvests. Those are the first level. Amen?
Amen.
And we can go on and on. Second, you know, financial, all those things. Second level is the soul. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because I've anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Amen? To open prison doors to them that are what? Bound. That's the soul of Israel. Amen?
Amen?
To break bondages. To, you know, Egypt, Israel came out of Egypt. They came out with wealth. They came out with healing, material blessings. But their soul was still bound. They were not free. So when Jesus talks about the second level of harvest is the place of the deliverance of the soul, the healing of abuses, generational things that just will not allow you be who God has freedom. That coming out of prison, not physical prison, bondage from the soul, from the heart, addiction. Addiction that no psychiatrics or medication can suppress. That's a freedom from the soul. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now the third level. The third level of reward is the level I want to talk to you about today. Amen?
Amen.
Because all those other ones are wonderful, they will come. But this third level is why we are going out there. The tenth. The third level is what we lost all the way from Genesis. That clothed Adam and Eve that everything they needed in physical was there, but it covered their nakedness. It was the glory of God. It was restoration to heaven on earth. Amen.
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 If somebody is trying to fall asleep close to you, tell them that we expect a vision from a dream from them. Yes, let them keep sleeping. Amen. The tenth level is the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, if you sleep in church, it means that God is trying to give you a vision. So if you don't have a vision, then something is wrong. Amen?
Amen.
The third level is the glory of God. It's a reward. God says, I am your reward. My glory is your reward. That's the one I call reward. That's what we lost. place I'm about to share with you is the place that God is longing for. Moses has seen the hand of God. He's seen the provisions of God. He's seen deliverance. He's seen power. He's seen everything. But when Moses entered this place of reward, he says, God, I don't want to go further without this. Don't take us any further if your glory, your presence does not. How will the rest of the world know the difference in their harvest? They are blessed materially. They are blessed in many, many ways. That's why. But what makes us different is your presence. People can get blessed. People can live a moral life, good life, and not be struggling. But what separates us from the rest of the world is not material things. It's not good health. It's not all this stuff. Because there are people in the world with good health, with good material things, morally sound. So what separates us is your presence going with us. Your glory. That's what makes all the difference. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, ever since I got saved, that has always been my desire. It's not like I don't like other things, but David, from a young age, from a very young age, that's all he wanted. He says, this one thing is what I desire. And this one thing is what I will seek after until it becomes a reward for me. And God rewarded him. And in Psalm 91, David says, I have found this place. It's a secret place for man, but it's not a secret place for me anymore. Amen?
Amen.
God has made it a secret place. So in Psalm 91, David says, described this place of reward. It's again what Adam and Eve lost. David found it, and David described that, again, you are covered in the presence of the Lord. And he described that this particular place, where you find it, this dimension, this third dimension of being restored to what we lost, of reward, of seeking and waiting and seeking and waiting. This place of reward, when you find it, David says, you rest. You rest. Because now God says, I will become your protection. I will provide. I will do this. I will cover you. I will, everything now God says, you have now put me back in my position as a father. That's the three dimensions of reward. Passover, Pentecost, and then Tabernacle. You've come back home. You've gone beyond salvation. You've gone beyond the gifts of the Spirit and the miracles. You've now come back. You're now one with God. Like in marriage. A man becomes one with a husband and wife. Amen.
Amen.
One of the expressions of receiving the flowing of this place of harvest. You see, when you want to do harvest, when you want to harvest, there are instruments for harvesting what you planted. Amen. In the kingdom of God, there are many keys. These keys are for different purposes. They are for different use. Amen? The key that opens your car does not open my car. So, there are keys for different things. There are keys to all kinds of things in the kingdom. Jesus says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But one of the keys is the one that the Bible calls the key, not keys, the key of David. Everybody say, the key of David.
The key of David.
That particular key is called a master key. There was a master key.
Master key.
A master key is the key that can open every door, isn't it? So you don't carry too many keys around. Amen?
Amen.
But there are keys. God said, I will give you keys. But David found a master key. So the Bible calls it Isaiah 22, 22. Write it down, Isaiah 22. I will give unto him the key of David. Jesus actually, in Revelation 3, said, I have the key of David. Jesus even talked about, I have the key of David. That key is the key that David found, is described in Psalms 91, is the key that opens the secret place. Is the key that gives you access to the secret place 24/7. Is the key that does not make you a visitor but one who dwells there. A lot of keys make us visitors. Amen? We just visit, enjoy the visit and go away. But David says, that's my dwelling place. Amen. I live there. When I go out, I'm just going for assignment and I come back home. It's the master key. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That key can do a lot of things. I'm trying to get to the scripture, but the Spirit of God is taking us somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
That key is what God has been trying to introduce to men for a long time. If I read the scriptures, I can break all the keys from Old Testament to New Testament. But David found it. And so God made a declaration about this key and said, I have found me a man after my heart. I have found me a man after my heart. What is God talking about? In marriage, you know, when we do the marriage vows, two people shall leave their parents and become one. Amen?
Amen.
You know how they become one? Sister Bola left her family, isn't it? She was answering one name before, and then he met Pastor Emmanuel, and then they were dating. They were visiting each other, isn't it? Later, they made a decision to be married. They were still visiting each other. And later, when they stood before God, and both of them says, now you take this man to be your lawful husband, for better, for worse, until death was passed. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I said, I do. After that moment, what happened to Sister Bola? She changed her last name. Isn't it? And she's answering Emmanuel's last name. That is the oneness in marriage. Two of them now are answering one name. They don't physically become one, but something inside has made them answer one name. They are one now, isn't it?
Amen.
They don't have two last names. Amen?
Amen.
That union that makes them one is what David found. David did not kill Goliath because he was just an Israelite. He was one. is lost. The thing that we all are fighting to keep when we become one with God. He surrendered fully. And he understood covenants. And so, God now taught David how to live in that unity, that oneness. Amen?
Amen.
And what God taught him became what they call the key of David. That key is called worship. That key is not singing songs. It's not just singing songs. Amen?
Amen.
That key does not just, when God says a man after my heart, God is saying, I have found somebody in the earth that me, two of us, are sharing the same heart. Two of us are in like a marriage relationship. So when David sings or he worships, it was not just songs. Worship is not just songs. Worship is a love relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Tabernacle has three levels of relationship. There is the outer court where everything is about me and what I need. Amen?
Amen.
What I need, what can you do for me? Forgive me my sins, deal with my enemies, kill them, save them, keep them alive, whichever one. That's the prayer that I pray. Holy place is the next level of blessing where your soul gradually is learning to serve God. The outer court is about me. People in the outer court, they are born again, but when you are in church, it's all about me, help me. No matter what you do, it's still about me. Not that you can't have me, but it's always about me. Amen? Holy place is people who are gradually saying, God, you blessed me enough. I need to serve you. I need to do things. I need to become a Levite for you. I need to give back to you. I need to honor you. I need to do a little bit of why I'm here. And you are closer to God than the people on the outer court. Soulish deliverance takes place there. The third level of reward in the Old Testament, based on what the Spirit of the Lord is hearing, is the Holy of Holies. All these three are in the tabernacle. But the Holy of Holies is what tabernacle really means. Another word for tabernacle, when you start studying, breaking it down in Hebrew, is the word married. That's why in the Old Testament, a veil covers it. You cannot go in there. In the New Testament, the veil is taken away. Because now God gives, he says, now true worshipers, sons of God, can come boldly by that blood to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
So, I just summarize the different levels of spiritual expectation. But the level that God reserved for the New Testament church, all of us, is the experience of the tabernacle, the last church. The church that Jesus is coming for is that third level, the experience of that intimacy. So, because of that, this church has to go through everything that that Satan could imagine he could do to stop that church from having that experience. So Satan has thrown to this generation everything that could make you ever not dream that a place like that is possible. Remember, we started, the Spirit of God started by saying, if the princes of this world has no wisdom, they will not. The devil has turned people's identity upside down, has turned it sideways out, has turned it, people just say, I am anything I believe. He has confused everybody. He has made perversion available in abundance. He has thrown to this generation every evil you can imagine. He has raised terrorists to the highest level. Allah. Nations, whole nations are given over to false religion, false gods. So Satan sits and says, let me see how that church, that bride of Christ, that glorious church will rise. If the princes of this world, they know wisdom. If Satan has learned his wisdom, learned his lesson, he would have known that everything he's done is to cause the glory of God to become more glorious. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why God reserved this third level of glory. You were born for such a time as this. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have not seen that kind of glory. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why we think our youths are lost. Everything is lost. This glory is going to turn. It's going to turn nations to missionary people.
Amen.
It's going to turn many to become pastors because there will be just too much to pastor. It's going to turn many to evangelists. Many, many, many to teachers. There will be too much to take care of. That we'll all be leaving our fishing boats to serve God. We'll be leaving our tax collector's job to serve God.
Yes, Lord.
Because the harvest is great.
Amen.
Everything I said to you now, I want to say, I just prophesy to you.
Amen.
You're living in the best day of your time.
Amen.
Whatever the enemy has done to this point has been for your promotion.
Amen.
If you believe it, shout hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
Now, What do I do to start using this key more effectively? How do I tap into this key? What helps me to really know that this key works? God uses natural things with me. And once I understand natural things, you can't steal the spiritual part. So, the first part I want to share with you, I want to read it, and I want us to read it together. Maybe the rest I can point you to the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's all open to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers, chapter 16. We're talking about the key of David, the tabernacle of David. Numbers chapter 16. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
How many of you still bring Bible to church? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Numbers 16. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's read from verse 41. But on the next day, the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. If you read the scriptures before then, you understand why. Verse 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation. And behold, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The pestilence or the plague is what began. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, made an atonement for the people. And he what? Stood between the dead and the living. And the plague stopped. Now, they that died in this plague, this were 14,700, besides them that died after the manner of Korah rebellion. Let's open and read the next scripture, Revelations. Let's open to Revelations. Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5. We're going to read really quickly. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on his backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud what? Voice. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man, everybody say no man, in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book or read the book, neither to look upon it. Verse 5. And one of the elders says unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to what? Open. Everybody say, open.
Open.
You open things with keys. And to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven heads and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Seven spirits of God that are sent forth. Something causes that seven spirits to be loosed into the air. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he has taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them what? Harps and golden what? Musical what? Instruments. Heavenly musical instruments that they play. And then look at what it says. Having every one of them harps and golden vase full of what?
Incense.
Sweet odor. Sweet fragrance. What did he say this incense are? Which are what?
Prayer.
When you study that context, prayer. That prayer is the summation of levels of prayer. And it's called worship. So if you read it, it will say, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the worship. That is prayer and worship of the saints. If you read it in Greek, you can go study. And a song, a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall what?
Reign on the earth.
The other scriptures I'll point you to. Let's look at what we just read. Let's look at the Old Testament, and then we'll go to the New Testament. What we just read. God uses what they call the physical as a shadow of the spirit. He uses the physical as a shadow of the real, the patterns. In the Old Testament, when God was working with Israel, he told Moses to build a tabernacle, and he gave him all the precepts for it. Amen? Amen. And one of the things he told Moses to do before you go into the Holy of Holies, before that veil, is an altar of incense. Moses cannot, or Aaron cannot, go into that mercy seat without the incense and the blood. Two major things, the blood and the incense. He goes into it. Let's say this is the Holy of Holies. He takes it, the thing is, he takes the blood, he takes the incense burner, he goes into the Holy of Holies, and he sprays the blood seven times on the mercy seat, and he keeps doing the incense, the burner. Sometimes you see the Catholic Church do this thing that burns it. That's the imitation. You do the incense with that censer, and then as the incense grow, listen, my brothers and sisters, when they did the first incense, it's still blowing incense. But the Bible says, when that incense fills the place, it says the cloud of God's glory comes and sits on the incense. Incense. I don't want to be distracted. I wanted to go into that incense. About sustained worship. But the point is incense. That incense causes God to come and sit in the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
God is seated on the throne in heaven. He says there are three people in God. God sits on the throne. Jesus has come and gone. He said, but there is a spirit, seven spirits that are sent forth into the earth to represent the presence and the manifestation of the glory of God. That's why God is everywhere. We can be praying here, the glory of God will come here, and it can be happening in 3,000 places all over the world at the same time. Because of that glory. Amen.
Amen.
So the first thing is the blood gives you access. That means born again sonship. The incense is coming to that holy place, is where relationship has been built. And now you are standing before God based on that relationship, and you are touching his heart with prayer or worship. What does that mean? I want you to see this. Take note of this. This is very important what you're receiving this morning. Thank you. The children of Israel are in trouble. Plague has come. Amen?
Amen.
And he's killing people. God didn't tell any, Moses didn't tell, hey you, Levi, go, take. No, he said, Aaron. Because in the Old Testament, Aaron is the only one that his incense goes into the holy of holies. The others are service incense. But the incense that goes into the holy and stands in the gap has to come from the high priest. So Aaron takes this incense in the Old Testament. I want to see what's happening. Takes this incense, this bowl, brings it before the presence of God. And the Bible says, he stopped the plague. People were dead here. The rest that were supposed to die here, the incense stood and stopped. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in the New Testament, listen to this tape once again. The reason I'm saying to do that is, every word I'm saying to you is from the Holy Spirit. When I just read to you the New Testament, on that cross, a new blood was given to us. That blood has now made a way for everybody to be where the high priest can get it. Nobody could do it in the Old Testament but the high priest, one man. In the New Testament, the high priest gave us his blood to give us access to only where the high priest can go. So now we have the blood of Jesus as the source of God. That's one. Now, they were saying, who can do this? Who can do that? It said the Lamb has overcome. But how did they respond to the Lamb? How did they? It says, before the throne of God, there are these beasts and these elders, these people. They carry that incense before the true room of God. Amen? And what they are carrying is an offering they are presenting before the throne of God. And what they are presenting, the Bible says, they are presenting it with instruments of worship and stuff, says it is the intercession, is a worship. The saints that are here. If you go to Revelation 8, it says they mix the prayers of the saints with their prayers, they mix the worship of the saints with their worship, and they present it before God, and God begins to respond. Now, really quick, that I shared with you, what Aaron did was worship incense, and it touched God's heart. And it's like a wife. The husband is angry, and the wife comes in, honey, it's okay. And he knows how to say it, and the husband says, okay. Nobody else can do that. It turned the heart of God. This incense is coming from somebody from my heart. I will listen to it. That's one. God, Israel was in a bad situation. These super terrorist nations were going to destroy Jehoshaphat and Judah. And they didn't know how to fight. They had army, they've surrounded them, they had problems. Problems upon problems. They didn't know how to deal with this problem. Now, I just shared, the first point I made to you is worship can destroy plagues. Worship can kill sickness and disease. Worship can annihilate physical limitations if you stay in it. That's the first point. The second one we're talking about in the physical. Jehoshaphat, Israel said, God, our eyes are on you. We have no strength against this. It was impossible in a situation confronting them. And as they were fasting, praying, seeking God, God spoke to somebody and said, tell Jehoshaphat, use the key of David. Saint Judah, use the key. I'm trying to point you to the key. But what was the key? He said, tell them to go without any other thing but worship. That's one of the craziest scripture. We preach so much, we talk so much, but we don't know exactly the depths of what he's talking about. I have fasted, I have prayed, I've told you all this story one time, fasted, I had a deadline to pay a bill. It was a big amount, thousands of dollars, and the people were already putting pressure on me. I've been fasting, I've gone out, I've prayed, and the Lord told me what he says, use the key. And that particular incident, I heard the voice of the Lord and I obeyed. That Wednesday, we came out of church on Sunday, that Wednesday, cash for exactly what I was needing. Thousands of dollars was given to me in cash. The person was visited as soon as, and the person could not sleep and couldn't rest. He said, I was so afraid that I didn't want to bring check because I don't know how long, whatever you need it for. There was a hastiness in my spirit. I had to make sure I bring cash so you're not delayed. And I paid that bill. I can tell you different instances. It doesn't mean that I don't worship God. But God told Joseph, go to this battle with the key of David. And they went. God is good and his mercy endures forever by faith. Here is a valley full of multitudes of army. And the Bible says, when they were doing that, they did something to the heart of God. And when they did that to the heart of God, God looked and he said, what are these angels still doing here? They went down there, and the Bible says, the armies of the wicked faced themselves and destroyed every one of themselves. My brothers and sisters, those of you that are married, I don't know, there are some things people can do to turn your heart in a positive way. A lady danced, the daughter of Herodias, dance. It was worship. It was not just dance. It was a demonic worship. It captured the heart of this king, Philip, captured his heart. To the point he says, you have turned my heart with this. Anything you want, you can have. Because of worship. And that's how John the Baptist was killed. Finally, one more. The one I share with you now is how to deal with principalities and powers. There are certain warfare, David says, God will bind and chain up King Psalms 149. Just through worship. Worship is not only God bless me, God heal me, God. God says, when you are worshiping, he will take care of the enemies. He did it in the physical with the enemies of Jehoshaphat. Another example, Paul experiences. He was confronted by a prince power in Philippi. It was bad. They beat him, put him in jail. Remember, in the past, Paul was like me. He used to grumble and cry because he was suffering. But when he discovered that God can turn every situation for my good if I give God thanks. Remember we started with that. Paul put it in practice. Instead of me to whine, God told me to go. Instead of me to cry, they are beating me, blood, they put me in jail. Look at these people going with me, I'm in jail. We are so, I mean, bad situation, bad. They didn't even know if they were going to kill them the next day. Paul found out, if I could turn God's heart, God will turn my situation. And he said, Silas, you know what? Let's just worship God. It was not just worship. You don't worship when you feel bad. Your flesh doesn't want to. You don't worship when your soul is down. This kind of worship is when David says, encouraging himself in the Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. It is the kind of worship that your flesh is down, your soul is down. The only thing that is up is your spirit.
Amen.
And you start saying, God, have mercy on me. God, deliver me. I give you praise. Your mercy in the earth is coming out of your spirit when your body is bleeding. You know you've been marked. As soon as Paul and Silas took that key, the key doesn't just turn anybody's heart. God told David, you turn my heart. And he turned the heart of God and looks at the angels, what are you doing here? They were right there, shook the place up. My brothers and sisters, we can't go too far. You've had a little piece of it. Corporate worship, you should never leave to the worship team. Worship team are just what they call worship leaders. They're just helping to create the song. When we sit here and they are leading worship and screaming their heart out and doing that, we don't know what worship is. The Bible says in 2nd, because of time, I didn't go, you can go to write it down here, it's 2 Chronicles 5. It says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices, everybody was singing. There's something it does to the heart of God.
Thank you.
If all of them went, when he told Judah to lead the way in worship, and only the people in front were singing, for his mercy is good and his, how far would that voice go? But when they heard the whole Israel singing, it was like a trumpet sounding.
Yes.
And when heaven heard that, that alone causes the enemy to shake. My brothers and sisters, let us unify our voices. Even if it is not whether your voice is eloquent or it's not eloquent, it's let your heart be heard. Unite and let our voice loud up to God. When you hear it, you too can feel it. When everybody amplifies worship, you literally feel something being released. But when one person is singing and one person is trying to amplify it and every other person is just enjoying it, you're not burning incense. Incense are meant to be burnt. You're keeping it. It's a sacrifice. You make sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
Then you sacrifice to sing in any tune that you can without worrying about the tune, as long as the songs are the same.
Amen.
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 When she took the microphone, you saw the difference. Support them. There's something it does to the atmosphere. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as I was preparing this morning, and that word came to me, and we're going to the tent, I asked the Lord, I said, will you help us if we give you enough incense, the kind of incense you like, can you make a statement where Cleveland will be the first state where there's no pestilence?
Amen.
Can you stop the plague in this city where it will be recorded no more cases in Cleveland?
Amen.
And people say, why? They say, because incense is coming up from the
tabernacle.
You see, the kind of sacrifice God looks for sometimes is to stop what the enemy is doing and to give a testimony. If Aaron can do it, and we are all part of, say, God, can you orchestrate such a unity,
Amen.
Such a worship? At least, if one of your miracles, I don't, there might be so, Let one of the beginnings of your miracle be that you stop the plague in the atmosphere of this city. So that they will say, why no case after this season? No case of virus in the Eric Genova? People say, why? Because that's one of my first challenge in the tent. I'm going to say, can we challenge God with enough a brokenness and a humility of worship that the first testimony would be that there is no case of virus in the hospital?
Amen.
So the first thing I want to do is, what the tent will start on Tuesday. I want to find out how many people are in the hospital from before we start. And watch as we start worshiping, how many remains in the hospital. We are not going to the tent to play games.
Amen.
We want to do anything God says to do, and do it acceptably. Whatever God will do there, I don't know. But the one that just came to me this morning, I say, just let that be just the beginning. That you did not ask us to go out there in vain. So my brothers and sisters, worship can steal your avengers. Worship can stop spiritual oppositions in your life using the worship and the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Worship can bring personal breakthrough and healings in our lives. Worship can bring breakthroughs, like God told me, financial. I've told you the three levels. So my brothers and sisters, God is calling us to that tabernacle. That tabernacle is just physical. What that is just prophetic. God is calling us to the Holy of Holies. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to encourage every one of you. I don't know what you're asking God for. But let's see if we give God worship, let's see if God knows where we are personally. Let's see if he knows where we are corporately. Let's trust God with worship. And let's see where he will begin to take care of our miracles.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
In your personal life and corporately. Thank you. So tonight we are going to be dedicating that tent. We're going to dedicate it. We're going to pour oil on it. We're going to consecrate it. And we're going to give it to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you for bringing out that blood. Amen. It's a covenant.
Yes.
Yes. So we're going to dedicate it and we're going to consecrate it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I will do some announcement later. So I want to encourage every one of us that God has called us to be family. There are other ministers coming. We're going to dedicate that tent tonight at 7 o'clock. So we're not going to have service in here. We're going to have it under the tent. Amen?
Amen.
There are other things that will take place before then. But have it. Then we have flyers out there. Take it and invite as many people as you want to. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Invite them. God is going to draw people. The word for the tent is, if I am lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We're going to take communion now.
Amen.
I've asked Pastor Emmanuel to join me.
That will be our prayer.
The high priest goes into there with the blood and with incense. Our prayers this morning is for us to remind the Lord that we are married. Amen?
Amen.
We are one with him and we want him to take care of us. He knows our physical need, our soul. Lord, Pastor Paula is answering Oikweme now. When you take this communion, it says you are in Christ. Let God take his position in our lives.
Amen.
And begin to deal with our physical needs, soulish and spiritually. He is our head. He is all that we have. So take the communion this morning. Covenant with God to intervene in the affairs of your life. And to prepare you for this Holy of Holies. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We honor you. We've had your word. Your word is a revelation of your promises. Father, we stand upon this revelation today that we are one with you. We are your sons and daughters. You made, giving us access to your very throne. Father, restore us fully to that awareness. Today, we submit ourselves under your lordship and your headship. Visit everything the enemy has done in our lives and turn it for our good. Reverse it for our good. Our physical life, our soulish life, our spiritual life. Father, restore, reverse, turn what the enemy meant for evil because of this covenant. Turn it for our good and for your glory. As we receive this today, let it be so.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can take. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you for the blood that you have shed. When you said it is finished, everything about our victory, everything about our walk with you perfectly from this planet Earth until we see you had been done. Thank you, Father, because all that pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us in Christ Jesus. We enter into that season, into that sphere, right now through the blood.
Amen.
We enter into the Holy of Holies one more time, even this hour. Lord, we declare that heaven will release, O God, as we have agreed. Lord, that souls of men be turned to you.
Amen.
We ask, oh God, that your glory will fill this land.
Amen.
Your glory will fill the tent.
Amen.
We fill our own tent, Amen. Our human tent,
Amen.
The tabernacle. And Lord, fill also the physical tabernacle.
Amen.
Cause your glory, oh God, to draw men to yourself.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
All that, oh God, have been lost as a result of the activity of the enemy. Amen. Lord, this is the moment we agree together. Lord, Jehoshaphat and his men did not fight any battle. You fought for them. And at the end, Lord, for 3 days, they were gathering spoils. Let it be after this Holy Communion. And as we enter into the tabernacle, that we begin to gather spoils.
Amen.
Spiritual spoils.
Amen.
Physical spoils.
Amen.
Matrimonial spoils.
Amen.
Financial spoils.
Amen.
Spoils headwise.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sons and daughters be born into your kingdom.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
By your blood, we overcome.
Amen.
And with the word of our testimony, that we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens us.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Mike can still stand here.
If this month is your birthday or your anniversary, can you stand, please?
It's your birthday or anniversary. September. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Amen.
You can remain standing. Yes.
Voila.
Who else? Anniversary? Yes.
Wedding.
Wedding anniversary. Amen. And then yours is birthday?
Wedding anniversary.
Oh, wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Father, we thank you. We have evidence of the power of covenant through wedding. Where two become one. Their names become one. Everything are shared as joint heirs. Father, we thank you for remembering these covenants that were made on this month. Refresh it. Restore anything that has been damaged. Father, take it to the next level. bless it,
amen.
Honor it.
Amen.
Father, every child that has been born out of this, bless them.
Amen.
Remember them.
Amen.
Grandchildren, bless.
Amen.
Remember them.
Amen.
Continue, God, to reveal this covenant and continue to refresh the marriages.
Amen.
We cover them in the blood.
Amen.
They will only go from glory to glory.
Amen.
And we give you all the praise.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for every one that was born on this month.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, activate, remind, bring forth destiny.
Amen.
That which you brought them this far, take them, oh God,
amen,
into purpose and destiny.
Yes, Lord.
We cover their destiny in the blood.
Amen.
And we give you all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I will come and do the announcement. When Pastor Manny comes, he'll just pray over the offering. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Please, don't. The thing will start on Tuesday, and we'll be meeting every day at the tent. Pray for God to give you grace, but look for surprises. Amen.
Amen.
As much as you can, try to be there.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.